tired of your lies and the evil things you're doing behind my back. Are the crimes that you have never committed? I doubt it sometimes. I wonder when will you die? You're insane. You are bad. You wreck everything you touch and you're a sociopath. There's just one thing that everyone's wondering. When will you die?
I've been a Douglas Copeland fan for many years. His new novel is Worst Person Ever. And pleased to report that it is a gloriously raunchy, very, very funny, and unforgettable new novel. The novel is a deeply disturbed book about a dreadful human being with absolutely no redeeming social value, that gentleman with the name Raymond Gunt. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Douglas Copeland to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
What brought you to this character?
Oh. I was once on a film shoot about 18 years ago in California, and there was this British cameraman there who was just had the most vile potty mouth, hated everything he touched and saw, and he didn't realize that he had become sort of just the official entertainment on the set, and people were watching him surreptitiously. That was long before smartphones. We don't have a record of it, unfortunately. But always stuck in my mind is like, boy, there's something to that guy. I mean, he's just so creative in his ability to swear, and just he digs his own holes so deeply and then jumps in them. He wanted to be remembered in some way.
Raymond tells the story here in this novel, and I guess how did he come to be not only just bad, but that worst person ever?
Well, weirdly, about four or five years ago, McSweeney's called, and they wanted to do, they were reviving archaic forms of writing, and one of them was called a BG, which is an old Chinese way of telling a story using bits of recipes and shipping schedules and ephemera, as well as diary entries. And so... Actually, to be honest, I kept a list of creative swearing that I'd heard over the years, and I thought, okay, well, maybe we can throw in some creative swearing, and then this guy just grew in my head. And the strange thing about characters, Joe, is you get them up and running, and then after about a third of the way through the book, they write the book themselves, and you're just there to channel it. But with Raymond, he's like, dum-da-dum-da-dum, oh my God, I can't believe he just said that. Wait, technically I just said that, didn't I? Oh God, what's going on in my head?
What does creative swearing mean to you?
Creative swearing is when somebody entertains you against your will with some twist on a set of words that you've maybe never put together before. I don't think we're allowed to talk about any of them on the station.
I don't think we are. But it is interesting. It is a form of language play, isn't it?
Well, it is. I spent a lot of time in England, and one thing the English really do know how to do well is, besides answering telephones politely, is they just know how to swear, and we don't really swear in North America. And when you do, it's kind of like everything stops. So what would happen if you took this person who's just like a leaf blower of filth and just sort of threw them in a really sort of prissy situation? How would people respond? And my editor said, "Well, can't you just give them Tourette's? Because that way he has an excuse." Like, no, Raymond has no excuse. He just is who he is. So, I mean, we have this thing, it's called the swear wall. And you have to go through about 10 pages of the book before you crack through the swear wall. And then you start realizing he's actually quite an interesting guy, and he picks up all these people along the way. But he does dig his own grave.
Was there a concern that you would turn people off? That there would be something that the worst person ever is not worth reading about?
Well, I mean, it depends on your mood, actually. Again, I use the expression being entertained against your will. There's something sort of wonderful to be had in encountering people who do things you would never do. It's like Hannibal Lecter. I mean, he's a very interesting person. Probably wouldn't, you want to read about him, you don't want to meet him. Maybe that's the sort of thing going on with Raymond.
When you find this character, then how do you temper it? Because you tell the story beautifully, and as you say, you break through this wall, and then there are these characters who also maybe sometimes do awful things too, but by comparison, it isn't that bad.
Well, I mean, the situation for Raymond, he is a B-unit cameraman, and he has a sort of vile ex-wife, and she tries to get him out of the picture by shipping him off to the middle of nowhere filming a sort of a reality show. And his situation gets more and more appalling and worse with every passing page. And I don't want to reveal what happens at the end, but it all sort of like comes together. This is what it was leading to. It makes sense.
Did you think about and have you been able to come up with an answer of why characters like this have kind of gone out of favor? There used to be a tradition of this type of character that we like to read about, the bad guy of what happened with that character.
Well, Raymond's not a bad guy. He's a vile guy.
Yeah.
And I'm mentally going through my head here, trying to think of such characters. Who'd you be thinking of, Joe?
Well, I think there used to be you would see the character that we used to. I guess I'm thinking of where you root for the bad guy, maybe even in that Damon Runyon sense, or people that would go out and rob and then take all their friends out for a drink, or you know things like that, where it's they are vile and yet there's still that character that we enjoy reading about.
Did you ever read F. Scott Fitzgerald's Pat Hobby stories? They were the ones he wrote shortly before he died. And Pat Hobby was just sort of a loser character who was in Hollywood, and he just sort of got by on a few dollars here and there that the studios would send him. And you just knew every time you read a Pat Hobby story that, like, oh, God, how is he going to mess this thing up? Like, oh, and when it finally happened, you went, yes, that's how you do it. And so I don't know if he's like a bad, well, hang on, no, he would probably, Joe, I'm trying to find the right words here. Oh, you know, sure. If he was at your house, he probably would rob your liquor cabinet and, you know, use your phone call to make long distance calls on your bill or something. But I don't think he would do something violent, I don't think. Raymond is not a violent person.
Hmm. And I think that's interesting because, I mean, it's worst person ever, and yet there is that distinction. I mean, you're not talking about a violent character. He's not going to be somebody who's going to go hold up the liquor store and, God forbid, shoot anyone in the process. But there are severe character flaws.
Well, I guess it gets into your definition or anyone's definition of what is good and what's bad. And I do think that swearing seems to be like Raymond's number one character flaw. It becomes sort of almost endearing after a while, and then you start realizing, well, you know, what is swearing really, and what goes on in your head when you swear? I mean, you know, even by discussing this subject on the radio right now, someone's listening, like, well, okay, let me make my own little list of swear words, and like, oh, okay. And we all have them in our head, but we don't talk about them or we don't use them. So what does that mean? It's like having like a secret cache of like really potent pharmaceuticals but never employing them or something like that. I'm still not quite sure what swearing is in the end.
Because it is just words, and yet, and you were talking about this, of how we look at these in different cultures, which is fascinating in and of itself. But then you look at something like, you seem like you're looking at self-delusion of how a person sees himself and how other people see Raymond.
Oh, that's the absolute definition of your comedy, is, you know, the difference between how you see yourself and how others see you. I mean, I think Raymond thinks, like, you know, he sees himself as Matt Damon without a chin, as a superhero who likes nothing more than to help humanity. Of course, he's the complete opposite. And then he ends up making a friend who actually does sort of become a superhero in a way. And he has a mother it was a disaster. Oh, it's just, it become, I'm trying to think, my parents didn't swear, and maybe that's where it comes from, so I don't actually swear myself. And I think when people read the book and they meet me, they expect me to, like, come on, do it, do it, do it. Like, I'm not going to swear. I'm appalled by this character myself, too.
You seem fascinated, though, by the way we communicate. I teach a communications class, and I use your Marshall McLuhan book as a textbook. It's one of the best things I've read in a long time of looking into this man, into his ideas. And so that's something that of how we communicate, how we use language, how we use media is something that fascinates you.
Oh, absolutely, boy. And then, I mean, we use these devices, then we get hardwired to them, and then they start changing the way that we actually think and speak and our diction. I'm sort of curious to see the internet. The thing about the internet, Joe, is that you would never ever dream of, you know, talking to your friend, phoning them up and saying, come on over to my house and let's go on the internet together. It's this sort of an intensely personal private act, which has the unintended side effect of, you know, embodying and creating new groups of people and forming new sort of bonds. And another side effect of it, it seems to be, is that it does bring out your inner sort of troll or your inner ogre. I think people speak and behave much more differently on the internet than they do in real life. And I think the thing about being alive in 2014 is, you know, even without trying by accident, you know, you have all this filth sort of hurled at you visually and in text form. And I think collectively we probably have to work harder to suppress things than we ever have in the past.
Well, the name of the new novel is Worst Person Ever. It is published by Blue Rider Press. Douglas Copeland, it's a great pleasure to speak to you. I'm a big fan of your work. I enjoyed this novel immensely, and I thank you very much for spending time with us.
Oh, Joe, it's been great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Worst Person Ever. It's published by Blue Rider Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WASN.